Larith and Evans on Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Now they only say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation.
Ah, what a time, what a time. Be a fan. Denver, Colorado. Got the Nuggets ripping the soul out of the Lakers. You got the Avs getting ready to... Let's see what these Winnipeg Jets are made of. I'm kind of curious. I don't think the big storyline right now is the Avs tonight. I feel good about what we're going to get from the Avs. To me, the curiosity is Winnipeg. It's Connor Hellebuck. It's the guy that's going to cruise to the Vezina Trophy for his regular season, looking very ordinary through these first two playoff games. How is he going to handle the heat that Alexander Georgiev was facing prior to game two? And Avs fans, I call on you tonight, right from the jump, right from the opening faceoff, I want to hear the derisive Hellebuck chant that those Winnipeg fans were throwing at Georgie. Turnabout's fair play. I want to hear the Hellebuck, Hellebuck chants raining down. Or Hellebuck raining down from the rafters, starting from the opening face-off. It's an Is It Just Me? Cecil Lammy in for Stink, who had to go take care of Stink stuff. And it's an Is It Just Me Friday as we roll into our final hour.
What do you got? I got an Is It Just Me.
You got an Is It Just Me? All right. Fever,
so,
go ahead.
What, Is It Just Me? You're watching the draft last night. Every fan base that they kind of cut to or whatever was dressed normal, acted normal, all that. Then they go to the Broncos.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
And the fans have those big, obnoxious hats on.
Yes! I feel
like the NFL did us a little dirty.
I agree with you. It's not just you. I thought the same exact thing. I forgot about it until you just brought it up. We had the dorkiest looking representation of Bronco fans, all of them wearing the stupid big hats. That's the best they could do?
Come on, man.
You're right. It was a bunch of... Do you remember that, Cecil? Right before the pick, they showed all the Bronco fans, and they all had these dorky big hats on.
Okay.
It was not a good look. It was not a good look.
I did not see that because I was broadcasting on it, and James Palmer
broke
that
news. All right, go back and look at it.
Okay,
it was,
I will.
It was not a good look. I'm with you, Johnny. You're right. Very embarrassing.
What is it with the big hat look? I mean, why is it? And listen, God bless everyone, and I always say, get down how you get down, baby. So I don't. Are you hurting anybody? I don't care. Right?
Right.
But what is it with the, like, cosplay?
Yes.
And I'm a comic book fan, so I appreciate cosplay, like really good cosplay. But why is it, like, you're not Raiders fans, okay? You don't need the shoulder pads with the spikes. You don't need the big hat. You don't need the whatever. It's like, can't you just wear the draft hat? Like, I don't know. I guess I'll have to watch it.
Has the NFL draft become football fans' version of Comic-Con cosplay?
That's nerd stuff.
Yeah?
Huh?
I mean, maybe. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it is an event. I don't know the number. I know when Rachel had tweeted out last night, like, they stopped allowing people in.
275,000 people was the estimated throng there at the draft last night.
Yeah.
And it did. It looked like that crowd just went on forever. It looked like a Avalanche or Nuggets championship parade. You know, we're kind of used to those.
Yeah, well, it'll push it'll push a million. It usually does, no matter where it goes. And I understand when people say, why can't Denver have the draft? Denver, and I know that Denver, when they did push for the draft, and I'd love it here, but there's no room, you know. And,
well, I think you'd have to do it just like an Avalanche or Nuggets or Broncos parade. You'd have to do it right there on the steps of the building.
You couldn't do it at Red Rocks. You could cut to Red Rocks and have something there, but, I mean, it's just, it's not... The draft is, it almost is, let's talk about the Comic-Con thing, like, it almost is like a convention for, and that's why the NFL fell in love. When I was at Chicago for the first time they moved it, because I would always go to Radio City Music Hall, and it was glorious, and it was fun, but New York did not give a you-know-what about the draft. They just didn't. There were the crazies that would line up around, and the camera crews would come, like, look at all these crazy people, they're just picking players, what's going on, NFL? But New York as a city... just didn't care about the draft. You went to Chicago, and I remember sitting at a bar with some cold pops. I wasn't quite at Michael Malone dynasty levels, but having some cold pops, and there was some, like, Browns fans or Jaguars fans or whatever. I was like, what are you guys doing here? We came to watch the draft. And when they had the draft town thing, the NFL figured it out. Like, oh, wait, we can, like, print money by having this event. where people can come together and just kind of celebrate your team. So it is great. I mean, the NFL draft gets better ratings than the NBA Finals, than the World Series, than the Stanley Cup Final. Sorry to other sports fans. Like, that's just the truth. The truth isn't meant to make you feel good. But, like, now the NFL has kind of gamed the system. It's like, let's just make a bunch of money and turn this into, like, an NFL convention.
You know, I think you could do it at Red Rocks. So let me explain how. Yeah. Hold on. Because if you got 275,000 people showing up at this draft and you got people who are content to stand, you know, miles away from the stage
right.
and just say they want to be there, you could have the Mucky Mucks and everybody like that. And the first people to get in on it could fill the Red Rocks amphitheater. And then you just put the big screens up around those giant parking lots, and people just gather in all those parking lots that are down below the amphitheater.
A quarter of a million people.
And you could pile thousands of, maybe not 275,000, but you could put, come on, you've been to those parking lots. There's enough of them. There's enough room that you could pack people in like sardines and have at least 200,000 people tuning in for the draft at Red Rocks easily.
It'd be a nightmare.
It would be a nightmare to get everybody up there, you know? I mean, because, you know,
Those are
parking lots, you know, yes, like that. And yes. Trust me, as somebody who lives near Morrison, those parking spots in downtown Morrison are hard to find. So, yeah, I don't know how they'd get everybody there, but I think you could do it. But it was quite an impressive showing in Detroit last night. Let's get to some more of the Is It Just Me? Is it just me, or you guys need to throw on some Auburn highlights of Bo Nix?
Dude, oh, God.
Dude couldn't compete in the SEC to save his life, but yeah, he's supposed to come in and save the Broncos.
Oh, please. That's the oldest, I don't want to say dumbest, I don't want to be personal, but that's like the oldest take in the book, right? Well, this guy, you're just going to have to get used to guys transferring now. This is modern NFL. Let's talk about what's happening now. And what's happening now in college football is guys are transferring all over the place. And he found the right fit, you know? Like, oh, he couldn't play in the SEC. All right. What's Auburn done since Cam Newton? You know what I mean? Like, don't give me the Jarrett Stidham thing, right? Okay, let's talk about what's happening now. I'll give you an old example. Maybe not a great example because people get mad when I say this name. But when Joe Flacco left Pitt because he couldn't beat out Tyler Palco, some lefty that got a cup of coffee in the league, and he goes to Delaware, of all places, right? Like, oh, all right. Let's see what the kid can do. Talking about the Auburn stuff, well, are we going to bring up Caleb?
Just a little bit.
We're going to bring Caleb at Oklahoma, right? You know, like...
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech.
I mean, come on. Like,
Josh Allen in Wyoming.
Right. And that's why it's like such an old argument. Like, oh, what'd Josh Allen do at Wyoming? Watch. College football is almost a different game from the NFL. And that's why I always chuckle with fans, because college football fans are nuts, crazy. So if you saw your guy and you paid $100 million to go to college or whatever, like, he's the best ever. I watched every game. You watched him in college. How does that translate to the pro game? And remember, like I said earlier, Bo Nix fits the modern game, because the modern game, like it or not, is dink and dunk.
Yeah, you said that it wasn't just this year, but last year as well. You had a first-round grade on Bo Nix. Now, yeah. I guess I need to ask out of my own curiosity, what goes into your grading system? Why is a Bo Nix, for example, having a first-round grade in your opinion, but J.J. McCarthy has a second-round grade?
Yeah, it's performance.
What goes into it?
It's performance under pressure is a lot. The physical stuff is the physical stuff, okay? And you do grade that to a certain level. But I also get kind of, I don't know, annoyed from talking about, he's got the big arm. Okay, yeah. He can run. Oh, yeah. Tell me what he does on third down. Third down, red zone, under pressure. Those type of things. And with J.J., we just didn't see enough. All right, and that was the main knock on J.J. McCarthy for me, is like, all right, he never, Alabama game notwithstanding, there was never those times where it's like, it's time for J.J. to take over, or not, you know, building the system around J.J., like, you know, and again, I like the kid, I would have applauded that the Broncos, you know, made a move to get him, but whatever, you got Bo Nix, and Bo Nix can play, and Bo Nix can really play with Sean Payton. This would be an exciting brand of football that's coming to Denver. And I understand you just said dink and dunk. Remember, under pressure, he was the number one quarterback by a rocket. Nobody was even close, not even Caleb Williams, when it came to under pressure throws. Bo Nix tries to kill you if you blitz him, which, as I said years ago, don't blitz Pat Mahomes. And I'm not comparing him to Mahomes, but it's that aggressive mindset that you have as a passer. And that goes into grade. So I look at third down. Pass placement is another thing, not just accuracy. And by the way, Bo Nix, record setting of all time in FBS history of accuracy. It's not just accuracy. It's where are you putting the ball for your receiver to make the best plays? And with a guy like Bucky Irving or Troy Franklin, you saw Bo Nix really pepper these guys. Hell, going back to high school when Kool-Aid McKinstry was his wide receiver and they're winning three state titles at Alabama. Like, you know, this guy's been able to do it for a long time.
Is it just me? Friday rolls on. We will pay homage and praise to what the Nuggets did last night. We'll hear from Michael Malone and Michael Porter Jr. coming up next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Cecil Lammy in for Stink, who's doing Stink stuff right now. On this Is It Just Me Friday. Dave in Pueblo, is it just me or is a win over the Lakers even better the next day, just like a good batch of chili?
Mm.
What is your absolute number one taste better the next day than the first time you have it food?
Whoa. Wow. Is it pizza? Right?
Yeah.
I don't eat pizza anymore, so it's, you know.
Soda, man.
For the past.
Soda.
Let me finish. Yeah. But like, is it that? I mean, I was always a cold pizza guy. Maybe that's why I was 60 pounds overweight. But like, you know, maybe a breakfast burrito, something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Pizza the next day is really, really good. I like anything that's got like a lot of good.
Is it cheese?
It's like a lot of good seasoning in it, right? That's had a chance to just further sink down into whatever you had the night before. And, you know, like it's like a good lasagna the next day.
Right.
Right.
I think it is the cheese.
Yeah.
Right? And then you get to rewarm it or even cold because cold lasagna isn't bad. So on the same topic, I'll put it in Is It Just Me fashion.
Yeah.
Is it just me or is there nothing better than like doing yard work with your shirt off? I was talking about Jared Wiley, you know, taking my shirt off of the Broncos draft to Jared Wiley because I love him. And then I was like, I wonder when the last time Evans did any sort of like yard work. I was thinking about you with your shirt off, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, do you do that? Is it just me?
Well,
I used to ride my motorcycle without a shirt on when I was, you know, in shape, and then I got out of shape.
Easy rider.
I would do the T-shirt at the pool thing. And God bless all of us, no matter our size. Like, work on yourself, get healthy, and all that. But I would do the T-shirt at the pool thing because it was pretty awful. And now I got a six pack I can take my shirt off.
Well,
I'm gonna do some yard work when the draft is done with my shirt off.
I'd probably do a little bit more ab work before that happens, but you know, it's something I was naked. Something I'm striving for. Time to hit the hardwood, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. What a job done by the Nuggets last night. It's just there's so many things to admire about the way they go about their business. And last night, this was on display. An almost methodical, relentless,
right?
Almost mechanical, and I mean that in a very complimentary way, takedown of the Lakers last night. And just this, and I think now as fans, I think we all felt the same way, right? They're down by 10 after the first quarter. And is it just me, or am I speaking for everybody out there listening right now, that even when they were down 10, you're like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Right? And then when it was halftime and they were down by 4, weren't you all like, yeah, okay. I mean, I know what's happening. I've seen this movie before. I know how it's going to end. Right? Did we all have that sense of inevitability? How wonderful is that, by the way? That here you are, following a team, rooting for a team that's playing in the playoffs against a team like the Lakers that everybody's trying to pump up. And you just know what the result's going to be. You can take it as gospel.
Security, yeah. You know, like, that's what you have, right? Think about that as a fan. How many times do you get that? How many times do you get that in the NBA? When it's edge of your seat, game seven, oh my God. Like, and it's fun, right? I remember in the day when Dikembe and the boys took down Sean Kemp and George Karl and the Seattle Supersonics. Like, I remember that. That was cool, right? Oh, I got an eight seed beating a one. Yeah, that was cool. But there wasn't any security in that, right? I wish they would have beat the Jazz in the next round because I couldn't stand Karl Malone, John Stockton. But still, like, you have that. Like, they're down 20. Not just the Jamal shot, again, which I could watch on a loop. But, like, they're down 20 and you're just like, yeah, I mean, it's a game of runs, right?
And it's just, this idea that, yeah, most nights it's going to be Nikola Jokic. But on any given night, it can be one of the starting fives night. And last night it was Aaron Gordon, who was brilliant last night. Brilliant. 29 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, playing his regular power forward role, stepping in as the center role when Jokic went out early with foul trouble. Michael Malone giving AG his props.
I just felt a lot of guys stepped up tonight, but, you know, you go 12 of 18 from the field, 5 of 6 from the foul line, and 29 of 15 in 41 minutes. We asked a lot of Aaron Gordon tonight, and he came through all the way. So, you know, I'm really impressed with Aaron's effort and his ability to go out there and play the game at such a high level across the board.
So, he's right, and we were talking about earlier what makes Michael Malone such a good coach and why I believe people need to stop fixating on X's and O's and substitution patterns and instead focus on the culture he has built, the identity he has built, the player development program that he has built. And I think another testament to what he and his staff have done here is how they took a guy like Aaron Gordon. First of all, recognizing in Aaron Gordon somebody who was the fourth overall pick of Orlando and was supposed to be the guy in Orlando, and recognizing that we could trade for him, bring him to Denver, and convince him to take on a different kind of role, which they have done, and Gordon has prospered in. First of all, that most of the credit goes, all the credit goes to Gordon, but also recognized for the Nuggets in what they were getting and what they envisioned in Gordon. Boy, were they right.
Yeah, they were absolutely right. And I remember when that deal went down, I was so excited. And I was only about 4 games before Jamal got hurt. Correct me if I'm wrong. But there was like a week, basically, after the Gordon trade initially. It was like, oh, my God, this could really work. And then Jamal gets hurt and you have to wait. And now you see how it does really work. But it's on AG. It's on AG because of that heart, that fire, that determination. And, yeah, he could be the scorer. He could go out there and give you 20 and 10. He doesn't need to with this team. He can if you do need him to. And as you mentioned, hey, shocker, Nikola got in foul trouble in Los Angeles where the refs, it's so completely obvious. When the Lakers are going to play, they're going to get all the free throws and you're going to get in foul trouble.
Although that hasn't happened. Hasn't happened the last 2 games.
Sure. Just you wait. That's all. Now, it always can happen.
Even the NBA and the officials know. This thing is over. This thing is over, and the Lakers are toast. Is it just me? Is it just me? Or we had Brock Bowers fall into our lap, and instead we have 2 guys competing at quarterback that look like they should be in a frat and rowing crew instead of the NFL. Zach Wilson and Bo Nix with similar hairstyles. That's for sure. And they're the same age, by the way. Bo Nix, you're getting a guy to compete with against Zach Wilson, who's been in the league a few years, and actually they're the same age. But it was funny because we had our own group text chain going, and Johnny Fever's been a Brock Bowers guy throughout all of this. And when they went on the clock at 12, I texted Johnny and I said, Bowers is here. And he was all excited about the possibility of Bowers. Had they not gone quarterback, was there any part of you when they went on the clock and Nix was there? Was there any part of you that said, boy, I still would love to see them go out and draft a football player? And who would have been your number one choice of the guys that were out there at that point?
Yeah, and Bowers would be in the conversation, but I think it was wrong-headed to say, like, get him a football player. They needed a flipping quarterback. All right? And there's no reach. You didn't reach for Bo Nix at 12. It's one of the most awful takes that I've heard. It's a reach. You didn't reach at 12. He's the 6th, 7th millionth quarterback. Like, oh, my God. Like, that's the way the board fell. He was their third quarterback on the board. So, yeah, Bowers. But here's the problem with Bowers. One, who the hell's throwing the ball? Hey, we got Brock Bowers. Awesome. Zach Wilson is your quarterback. That's awful. Okay, so, and Bowers is a slot more than he's a tight end. And certainly, Sean Payton would be able to work with that, obviously, as a joker. And they still need a playmaking tight end. And this takes nothing away from Brock Bowers. Usually it takes tight ends about 3 years to get going. Hey, you'd have a quarterback by then. And then, of course,
but is there a player other than a quarterback at that point that, in your evaluation, your grades, you were like, oh.
Bowers was the third best player in this draft class.
Third best player?
Third best player. So, yes, but here's the...
Now he's a Raider?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But who's throwing the ball, right?
And plus, hey, we do so great covering tight ends.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll still continue to be an issue. They will get an ILB, whether it's Jordan Maggi, the kid from Temple, or Easton Gibbs, a kid from Wyoming, day three picks. That'll be a Saturday conversation. But, like, I look at it and I go, well, wait a second. Okay, edge was a possibility, whatever, although it's not the best edge class, but you needed the quarterback there, and with Bowers, you don't get any sort of discount because your free agent tight ends and your tight ends that you're going to pay with that next contract make what first-round tight ends make in the top 10-ish, 12, right? So there's no sort of discount. You get a huge discount. If Bo Nix works out, you're on a rookie contract with Bo Nix. That's fantastic for this team, allowing you much flexibility with your salary cap. You don't get that with a tight end. So that was a ding on Nix. It's why he should have been in the top five, but he wasn't ever going to be because, one, it's the position, and then, two, it's how you pay that position. In the current construct, it's why tight ends want to get paid as wide receivers, because I think it was 52%. It's not 57, like Jamal said, but like 52 for the slot number. For the number of snaps from the slot that Brock Bowers ran. Like, he's a slot that plays tight end. And tight ends are screwed in today's NFL because most of these guys are receivers, but they get paid a much lower rate because they're considered tight ends, not receivers.
It is a Is It Just Me Friday, reacting to everything from the draft last night. What's coming up next for the Broncos? The Nuggets just looking just on cruise control right now.
Mm.
And the Avs with a big one tonight, game three against Winnipeg. Keys to that matchup that you look at from an Avalanche standpoint. We're doing all that next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Cecil sitting in for Stink. We had to bail a little earlier. Is It Just Me Friday?
Mm.
Is It Just Me? Did Bronco fans at the draft last night look like Dark Helmet from Spaceballs? I see your Schwartz is bigger than mine.
You did not see me playing with my action figures.
Another one. Is It Just Me or is Rogue probably distraught over Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson now having a competition with Bo Nix? You tend to, you know, you have a lot of feelings for people and teams that are done wrong. How do you feel about Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham today? Do you feel bad for him? Rogue, do you feel bad?
No.
So you don't feel bad for them, but you feel bad for the Lakers.
Dude, come on, people. Cecil, you probably don't have any idea what's going on here, but this is ridiculous.
So, Cece, Rogue came out the other day and said after game two, the Nuggets coming back, she said she felt kind of bad for the Lakers.
Mm.
And
I want to have that one back.
Yeah. I like a mulligan on that one.
Yeah.
See, all the people who understood what I was saying.
Your own father didn't understand what you were saying.
Dude, my dad understood. He was just joking with me.
He was mocking you. He was mocking you.
No.
He said, I raised you better than that.
No, he didn't say that.
No, but that's what he was thinking. Trust me, one dad to another, we know these things. Okay? We know these things.
No, it's you can recognize when someone has a tough loss. Like, holy cow.
No, but you're supposed to revel in it, not show any kind of sympathy.
No, this is Gladiator. Yeah. You know what I mean? This like, are you not entertained? Right. I don't care. Bring in the chariots. I'll take them on, too.
Wait, hold on. Cecil just spent a whole segment giving sympathy to LeBron, but then also saying that it's the Nuggets' time. Why is it okay for Cecil to do that, but not for me?
How did I give sympathy to LeBron? I said it was annoying.
You said that he's done so much for the league. He's a great athlete, yada, 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 yada.
Yeah, that's because the LeBron fans were whining on the text line.
Empty platitudes. He didn't really mean it.
I'm just saying it's the same
I knew what he was trying to do there.
No, people are latching on to one small thing that I said.
You meant it. Well, you said it with a lot of emotion. You're like, I feel bad.
No, I just said, I kind of feel bad for him. I can literally pull it up.
Textures. She regrets it now.
No, I don't regret it.
Rogue must want that one back.
I don't.
Rogue would like that one back.
I can promise you I don't.
Be careful, Mike. She can replay anything we've said ever.
Oh, that's all right.
And that's dangerous.
Oh, I have stuff that's coming back from 25 years ago that still gets played on these airwaves. On the RamosLaw.com text line, Cecil, is there any way you see the Broncos getting into the second round?
It's possible. It's not going to happen with Cortland Sutton, and you'd have to give up more picks to do that, and I don't think that's a George Payton strategy. I think you let the second round play out, and then you have your board assembled so that in the third round you're prepared for a defensive lineman, you're prepared for an edge player, you're prepared for a playmaking tight end. And there are others other than Jared Wiley, who I talk about all the time. You know, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State, who was the number one tight end at the combine in terms of three cone, broad jump, and vertical. Those are the three drills that matter. 40-yard dash doesn't matter as much. So, you know, you do have some options there, and I think that's the best play for the Broncos. I did put out at denversports.com the best of the rest that's left over. These are second-round guys that could have been first-rounders. Ladd McConkey was the cover athlete on that article. I don't think they get into that conversation. So, yes, is it possible? Of course. Anything is possible. KG said that, right? But does it happen? Nah, probably not. They don't have enough picks, and they'd have to give up more picks. You're not getting much for Cortland Sutton. For people, and I've talked to teams who think Sutton's going to get dealt, but as I said in my rumors article yesterday before the draft, I said, I don't know if that's just wishful thinking or if that's actually going to happen, because you'd get a fifth rounder for Cortland Sutton. And at that point, isn't mostly kind of insulting? You know what I mean? Like, hey, we're going to trade Cortland Sutton for a fifth rounder. Now, that fifth rounder could be Luke McCaffrey, and that'd be pretty cool. But at the end of the day, you know, is it just better to keep Sutton at this point, especially with the young quarterback? Get those weapons around that young guy and let him do what he does.
This one, Mike, is it just me? I'll never understand your take on quarterbacks. You came out today and immediately said that of these six taken, three are automatically going to be busts. You can't just sit on your hands saying we can't draft a quarterback because the odds are most quarterbacks are busts. What else are you going to do? Okay, quickly to summarize, I don't mind drafting a quarterback in the first round as long as the mentality is you're going after a specific guy that you love. I just can't stand the draft a quarterback, any quarterback theory. It makes no sense when you consider the 80% bust rate that goes along with these quarterbacks that are taken in the top 15. Secondly, the thing about the draft quarterback draft mentality that I can't stand is why the swing for the fences, what do you got to lose, take a shot at it mentality suddenly gets replaced with ultra conservatism. For example, okay, if the idea is swing for a quarterback, you got nothing to lose, it's too important, keep swinging until you find your guy. Arizona did that with Kyler Murray. The Giants did it with Daniel Jones. And yet those two teams last night passed on taking another quarterback. Why? Because it's obvious that you're not going to win with Kyler Murray. It's obvious you're not going to win with Daniel Jones. Nobody in their right mind would be able to sit here right now and say the Cardinals have their guy for sure in Kyler Murray. Nobody in their right mind can say the Giants have their guy in Daniel Jones. And yet both teams in prime position to do what? Take another swing at a quarterback, chose not to. And that's what drives me crazy, is this idea that we're going to go from swinging for the fences to all of a sudden kicking the can down the road with the quarterback that we swung for the fences with. And that makes no sense to me. It's totally hypocritical. And so whether it's that mentality or the draft a quarterback, any quarterback, they're all the same, place the same value on all of them. That's the part of this whole quarterback evaluation that drives me crazy. And boy, I'll tell you what, the league has not learned its lesson. Did they go jump in both feet last night, right? Six quarterbacks taken in the first 12. This is going to be fascinating because this is either going to go down as the greatest quarterback class ever, or it is going to be the GOAT of all time terrible draft classes for quarterbacks ever. It's not going to be... It's going to be boom or bust, baby. Boom or bust.
Wow, the double stamp. Ever.
Ever.
Andre 3000 on me. This
have we ever done this? Have we ever had six quarterbacks go in the top 12?
1983. Not in the top 12. That was the first round. But the last time six QBs went in the first round, it was 1983. And we all know
that. Yeah, Dan Marino was the last one at, what, 27?
Yeah.
In that draft?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
This was six in the top 12. So the NFL is doubling down on the idea that, you know, you got to have a quarterback. The herd mentality has never been stronger than it is right now. So we'll see how it works out. But tell me if you agree with this, okay? These six quarterbacks, one will be a stud, two will be solid starters in this league, three of them, 3 years, 4 years from now, will be the next group of Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilsons.
Agree, the best quarterback in this draft could be Bo Nix.
Okay. But do you agree with the idea that one, two, and three, one potentially true franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. two starters, three busts?
Let's say two franchise quarterbacks. This class was really good. This class had, for me, I had five first-round graded quarterbacks. J.J. McCarthy was a high second-round grade. So let's go two franchise. Let's adjust that number a little bit, right? Adjust that number a little bit. Bump that up. And look at 2018. Josh Rosen, obviously a bust. Sam Darnold, obviously a bust. But you look at Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Baker can play good football. Baker's not one of the true franchise ones, but he's a pretty good starter.
He's a solid starter.
So you got two franchises in 2018. You got Josh Allen, you got Lamar Jackson. This year, and this is what I said about Bo Nix before the draft, he has the kind of lower ceiling, but he's got the highest floor. You're not going to bust with Bo Nix. Bo Nix is not going to be a bust. He may not be the superstar of superstar, but with Sean Payton, he can be a really good Pro Bowl level starter in this league. So Bo Nix and the bust factor is very, very low. One, it's him and it's his work ethic. Two, it's his game. He fits the modern game. And three, it's Sean Payton. So the lowest bust factor of all these quarterbacks, it's Bo Nix. The highest is probably Caleb because Chicago's terrible. So, and it's not, Caleb has the natural skill, the physical skill. It's all the other stuff. It's all Chicago. It's his dad. It's his marketing team around him. Like, that's the problem with Caleb. There's no problem with Caleb as a player.
I got to tell you, too, also, just kind of watching everything around this guy, I got strong bust vibes from Drake May.
He is, he failed in some, I talked to some NFC teams that were in the conversation for quarterback, and they said he failed miserably in the interviews.
Yeah, there was kind of a gee golly whiz, aw shucks vibe that I was getting from him. That's like, oh boy, I got strong Mitch Trubisky vibes from this dude. another North Carolina quarterback. Fan Flyaway is back. We're going to be sending one lucky listener and a lucky guest to a road game for the finals in June. You're going to get two tickets to a game, round trip airfare for two from Denver to the destination to be determined. Two nights hotel, $500 spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Get your special offer from Sport Clips. We've got more Is It Just Me's and Fearless Predictions coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Still staying in for Stink. Last couple hours of the show, we had to bail a little early. Appreciate you, Cecil. I know that you're... Well, I was going to say you're running on fumes, but it's clear you're not. You've got some untapped reservoirs of adrenaline that you are digging deep into, my friend, and I appreciate it. I did get this one. Is it just me, or it's hilarious hearing you guys trying to convince yourselves the Broncos did it right with Bo Nix? Well, I guess I would turn it around to the texter and say, convince me why you think they didn't. And
right.
Convince me who they should have taken instead. Because I got to laugh whenever anybody comes out and says, Broncos got it wrong with Nix. They
totally
should have
messed up.
They should have got this guy. This guy's going to be the star. Well, then I'll tell you what. If you are that good at a texter, please. There are NFL teams looking to desperately hire you because they don't know for sure. If they don't know for sure, then all due respect, I got to kind of laugh when you say, wow, the Broncos screwed this up. They should have taken so-and-so.
You're not that guy, pal.
Yeah. Again, everyone, we need to be patient, but we need to look at how the board fell and know that Sean Payton got his guy. Shouldn't that make you all happy? And the Broncos have a quarterback, and that should make everyone happy. They
Does he
exactly
start right away?
What they needed to do.
Should he start right away?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I mean,
what do you want?
there's no reason. There's no facade. And if we bring up Drake May, like, okay, Jacoby Brissett's going to start the season. May needs a year, and he needs some fire instead of the aw shucks stuff. If we look at, well, we know Michael Penix is going to sit behind Kirk Cousins, provided that Achilles is okay. JJ's probably going to sit behind Sam Darnold. You got a guy that can start right away. Jaden will start right away. Caleb will start right away. Bo Nix will start right away. I like that conversation.
Hmm. Okay. Another texter says, Cecil, you mentioned the other day that Philadelphia wanted to move up with the Broncos.
Yes.
Can you say now who the specific person was they were targeting?
Yes, it was Quinion Mitchell, who they ended up getting. You know, and that's the cool thing about talking to people around the league is like, all right, James Palmer knew the Michael Penix thing 3 weeks ago. You know, I knew that Howie wanted Quinion Mitchell. So it's cool to see it come to fruition, but also all the BS, if you will, as two people who did the No BS Broncos postgame show years ago, Blackhawk.
Yeah.
Those were the days, Mike Evans.
They were.
We were so young.
Yes.
I look at it and I go, all the bogus stuff had
it's
to stop last night.
No, it hasn't been that long. But
when you were on the clock, you had to, you know, put up or shut up. The time for talk was over. Who do you really want? And how do you really want to get him? Howie's going to call everybody. But Howie wanted Quinion Mitchell, and guess what? Howie got him.
A two-part question. Was it a blatant attempt by the Broncos to misdirect people into thinking that they were really interested in J.J. McCarthy when they were not? And if so, did people fall for it? Or did folks see through that weeks ago and understand that Payton and the Broncos wanted Nix?
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Yeah, there we go. Minnesota fell for it. You know, I was on these airwaves saying, I think Sean Payton's guy is J.J. McCarthy. He was not. You know, so, and Sean Payton said last night he was actively involved in promoting the fact the Broncos were going to move up. Well, who would they move up for? You didn't need to move up for Bo Nix, and you didn't need to move back either. This whole notion of, like, there's this, I don't know, buyer's remorse? What is it? What's going on with Broncos fans? You all should be over the moon. You just got Sean Payton's quarterback. You just crushed it at the plate. Grand slam from Sean Payton in this draft. And people are like, oh, but you didn't. You could have moved back. What had happened was, like, none of that's all bogus. They had to take Nix at 12. Sean McVay was ready to pounce on Bo Nix. You had to take him at 12. You got Sean Payton's guy. Let's flip and go, Broncos.
On the, I'll tell you what, we're nearing the end of the show. So normally on Fridays, when things, big events are happening, we do this. So it's time for our fearless predictions.
Prediction? Yes, prediction.
Pain.
Hey, woman!
So let's start with today for the,
One for you.
For the Broncos. Give me a fearless prediction. All right. Well, no, if you got another one,
I got an abs one for you.
Well, I was going to get to the abs in a second.
Okay,
well, let's start here. All right, we can do abs first. All right, give me your fearless abs prediction.
Abs going to have.
Abs going to have. Okay. All right.
I know hockey fans are going to hate that, but it's like, prove me wrong.
And that's no cap.
So I got this one. Is it just me or
too old to say no cap?
Or Hellebuck is going to reset himself and stone the Avs tonight. I can't see Georgiev doing the same. I am fascinated for tonight's game, really not from an Avalanche standpoint. I actually feel really confident about what the Avs are going to bring to the rink tonight. What I am curious to see is, what is the mindset of Hellebuck between the pipes? Because for all the great things this guy has done in his career, he's already won one Vezina trophy. He's going to win another one this year. But last year in the first round of the playoffs, they won their first game against Vegas and then lost the next four. And in that series, Hellebuck was 1-4 with a goals against average, a very bad goals against average of 3.5 with an even worse save percentage of .886. Anything below 90 is subpar, below average. So he was not good in the first round of the playoffs last year after Vegas won, after Winnipeg won the first game. Avs lose the first game. Winnipeg wins the first game in this series, and then they lose the second game, and Hellebuck looks pretty ordinary in both games. Where is his head as they come into tonight's game three? That, to me, is the story of this game. So, with that said, you say Avs going to Avs. I like the Avs to pick up on where they left off at the end of that game, the second half of game two. They were terrific. They just kind of almost Nuggets Lakers style, just kept closing the vise on Winnipeg as that game and that third period went along the other night. I see the Avalanche tonight winning. I'm going to go with 4-2. Avs with the win tonight. How about that one?
No, 4-2. I like it.
I'm going to go 4-2. The other prediction I want is, what do you predict? When it's all said and done tonight, rounds 2 and 3 are over, the Denver Broncos will have done what?
The Denver Broncos will have taken a tight end. They're going to take a playmaking tight end.
In the third round?
In the third round.
They will not package picks and try to move up into the second round.
No, there's no need to. In this tight end class, and it, for people saying, well, what's George Kittle mid-round, you know, Travis Kelce mid-round.
Right, right.
How many times we got to go through this? Like, right. You can get great. For the Brock Bowers fans, yes, Johnny Fever, I'm talking about you, look at where the best tight ends in the league are drafted. You get them in the mid-rounds. Yes, Bowers is generational, and I said he was the third best player in this draft.
Go Dogs.
But at the end of the day,
oh, that's right. I didn't realize that. You're a George. You spend time in George. I should have seen that.
Yeah, it was
that.
Like 90% bias.
He eats peaches honest. All the time.
Yes, I should have seen that. That's my bad.
Move this man.
Yeah, no, actually, you are very right about that. What Kelce was a third round pick, right? Yeah.
Kittle was after
fifth.
Well, he was after.
No! Kittle was a fifth.
Yes.
Kittle was a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What are some other tight ends? Waller. Darren Waller was a...
He was a wide receiver.
But I know, but when was he drafted?
Was he undrafted?
Was he undrafted? Mark Andrews. Where did Mark Andrews go?
Third round, I believe.
I think he was third round, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You do have some first rounders. David Njoku, Sam Laporta.
Sam Laporta was the second.
Sam Laporta was the second. You're right. Yeah. Okay.
Hockenson
was a first. Noah Fant was a first.
Yeah.
Hey, no cap. Well, how'd that work out? Cecil, you're the best. Thank you so much. I know you were up late last night and you got another big day ahead of you. I really, really, really appreciate you carving out a couple hours. Thank you.
Appreciate you and love you, brother.
All right. That'll do it for us. Brandon Stokely, I swear he floated in here. He didn't walk in here. He floated in here like an angel because he's so happy that the Broncos finally have a first-round quarterback. He's been clamoring for one for years. They got their first round. Look at you. You're I can't. Look
I'm
at the
glowing.
Look at the you are. You're glowing. Stoke and Dover coming up next.